time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Gerard from Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Joe. My name is Gerard. I'm a very, very grateful and proud recovering addict. Excuse me. Let me clear my throat. This is a wonderful event. Over the years, I've been very supportive for the Narcotic Anonymous here at Ocean City, and I try to get here. I just like to briefly acknowledge, because I'll be remiss if I didn't acknowledge my sponsor, who is sitting in the audience. And every time I see this man, I want to let him know how much I care for him, for what he has done for me. He has guided me through this program. I stand here with 22 years, 9 months clean. As a direct result of his guidance and his consistency. And what I had to observe is that sometimes you get caught up into the information of the program is that this is a program of suggestions. My sponsor didn't suggest anything to me. He told me what to do. As long as he told me what to do and I was getting good results, I kept telling him, keep on telling me. Because I want this program better than I want life itself. Because without this program, I would have no life for the way that I live. I got in this program in 1982. I was an intravenous drug user, unadulterated, meaning that that's what my life was based on, shooting dope. Shooting dope. Coke and Bam or whatever, you know. And that is a very haphazard lifestyle. And for someone to do that for 18 years and not die, it's nothing short of a miracle. So since I've been in this program, I am so grateful that I know that every day above ground is a great day from where I came from. And the bottom line is that this gift from God is called Narcotic Anonymous. I think if I will be frank, I think we got the answer to the world problems. Because most of us was problems for the world. If you understand what I'm saying. Because I know it's some pimp hustlers, hoes, killers, pedophiles. Everything is in this program called Narcotic Anonymous. But we don't have to live that way no more. We have found a new way of life. So NA, take my life and show me how to live. That is my pet peeve. So I don't do anything unless NA is in parenthesis. Meaning that NA controls my life, guides me in my life, and has allowed me to reap great rewards in life because of Narcotic Anonymous. So I come here as a humble servant, a very, very humble servant, you know. And I get emotional when I think about all the people that missed this newfound cost you nothing program. All it costs you is some effort. So I advise people, before I start talking on the topic, it's hard. I want to advise people to get your sponsor and stick with your sponsor. Watch your sponsor with your eyes. Because talking in here is very, very, very much magnificent. For real. We're good talkers. We can talk and cliche and theorize and philosophize and everything. But the real deal is watching with your eyes. It's not about what I say, it's what I do and what I represent. And my sponsor taught me that. So I pass that on to my sponsees. You know, and if you ask me to be your sponsor, don't tell me how to sponsor you. You just listen to what I got to say. And if you get tired of listening and you don't go to no meeting, see you later. And I ain't going to feel bad because I don't sponsor you no more because you ain't following the script. Whenever you don't follow the yellow brick road, you're in violation, and it's called diverting. And when you divert, you use again. So you got to stick to the strip. It's a very simple, simple program for complicated people. So wonderful. All my posse is out there. I got a lot of wonderful friends, and I'm so thankful that they support me. Because I think that they know that with NA, I worked this program with a vigilance, nonstop. And I learned early on, I never had enough money. I never had enough dope. So why do I think I'll ever be able to accomplish enough meetings? Meetings make us make it. And if you ain't going to meetings and not being a trusted servant in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you're not recovering. What is called stealing. You're stealing valuable information and using it to your own individual needs and not helping anybody. You cannot stay here doing that. You cannot stay here doing that. You cannot come in here and stay silent and don't let nobody know who you are, never reaching out to help somebody or to chair a meeting or to give something back or to stand up here and give your story. That is not recovery. Recovery is a body of people who come together to help each other stay clean on a regular basis, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And if you're not doing that, you're just a silent killer sitting in these rooms, absorbing and taking the seat that somebody might need, because there's a lot of desperate people who needs to be in here. And there's another set of addicts that I always like to talk about, those cute addicts. That when they came in here, it was greasy as a pork chop, and all of a sudden, they driving real good, they got gaiters on, they got jewelry and all that, and they don't talk about, you still go to the meetings? One more time, a petty addict would do that. We'll come in here and suck up all the life out of this program and then roll off in the sunset. Don't help nobody, ain't worth shit, and still going to be petty, because if you don't come in here, you're still going to be petty. See, this thing unravels the pettiness in addicts. When you stay in here, because you've developed a conscience in here. And your conscience won't let you get away with the filth and the dirt that you used to get away with. That's why I say it's important to go to meetings so you can hear what people do and what happened to people that do certain things and go out. You know. And the topic that I've been chose to do is called HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. I'll give you the spiel as far as my experience on H. Hunger. Hunger used to be for me a honey bun, a Snickers bar, and a RC soda. That was my meal. Because when I use, I don't have no problem with eating because I don't need to eat because dope serves me very well. It keeps me comatose while I don't do use up no energy because I'm nodding. When you nod, you don't use no energy. You got to move around. So I didn't have too much need for food. I needed some dope. Food was a secondary. And the only time that I got some food is when my mama called me home and said, boy, where you been? I ain't seen you in a week. Come on in here and get something to eat. Man, the tragedies that we endure. But you know those tragedies turn into strength. And see, what hunger means is that when you get hungry, you can't think too well. Your brain don't function properly because it's not getting the nourishment that it needs. Nor your body get the energy to move around, to do things like go to work, do 8 hours, you know, eat lunch so you can do another 4 hours or whatever, you know. So hunger, and it has the connotation to food. Basically, we need food to live. You know, and what my understanding is that, you know, once an addict stops using and damaging his life, he have already done a lot of damage. And he really needs to have a proper diet to overcome some of those illnesses that we suffer from. You know, and so we need the nourishment. Anger is emotion that's going to follow you till you take your last breath. What anger does for us is get us in the self-destructive mode where we do something to hurt ourselves. So what I understand about anger is that I got to start thinking when I'm angry. When anger hits, I have to start thinking. So I can think through my anger without making some decisions that I'm going to have to suffer for lately. You know, anger makes you want to fight. Makes you want to hit somebody in the mouth. But what they do that I've learned is that they got zero tolerance for violence. You can't even shout at nobody nowadays. They can have your ass locked up. I forgot to. I said I speak two languages, English and profanity. And I know when I came here, I wanted to stop. I said, well, I'm just going to speak one language today. I'm going to try to rid myself of profanity. But profanity is a motivator. If you know what I mean. If somebody says something, please move. You might think about it and not move. I was like, get your motherfucking ass out the way. You gonna move. So I'm gonna try to refrain from my second language. But anger, man, is something that we all have. Because if I had treated myself, anybody else had treated me like I treated me, I'd have been very angry for the rest of my life. I did a lot of things that were damaging to me, that I didn't like, that I still get angry about today. But I know that that too shall pass, that anger don't stay with you always. You know, and it's emotions that we have to deal with. But when you're angry, you're about ready to hurt something or somebody, or even yourself. So my advice to those who have an anger problem, call your spouse and talk to them about it. Because talking does ease the pain. Shared is pain lessened. So if you're angry about something that somebody done to you, what I tend to do to counteract anger is I ask myself, has I done that? And if I've done that, how in the hell I'm going to be angry? When that person has done something that I've done numerous of times, if it was good for me giving it, it's good for me to take. So that helps serves a lot of my anger too. But I certainly ain't mad at being clean. That's one thing I ain't gonna never be angry about. Not me. Because I know how to be angry and I know how to be miserable. All I gotta do is go shoot some dope. I don't want to do that. I want to keep on living in this peaceful mode that I am in. And I ain't angry at nobody. See, my sponsor taught me how to man up in here. So when I'm a man, when I come up short, it ain't your fault, it's my fault. And I can get it right if I just keep on getting it. But if I stop and roll out because I feel like somebody's singing a Do Me Wrong song to me or somebody don't done me wrong, I'll never overcome anything. My motto is I'm bigger than all my problems. Because who gonna solve my problems? I'm gonna call one of y'all and say, solve this problem for me, buddy. You gonna say, nigga, what are you talking about? I gotta solve my own problems. So I took that approach, man, because you know, I'm one to say, you know, that I sang the natural anthem. Fuck it. Yeah. National anthem. I ain't dealing with it. I don't need no apartment because I ain't gonna be there no hand. I'm gonna be on the street. What I'm gonna get an apartment for when I know I'm going to jail next week. I know I'm going to jail next week. Because I'm going to run up in Safeway somewhere if I ain't got no money and I'm going to get me some steaks. Y'all ain't heard my... Some people don't heard my steak store in here. Let me just give you a version of it. Police caught me in the Safeway with an arm full of steaks. Now, I must have been wearing about $1.25, Rico. But these two police, I told them, get out of my way. I'm going out that door. One of them positioned himself in the front of the counter and one in the back of the counter. He had these big old long batons and they was just whacking. Bop, bop, bop. Somebody asked me the question, why you ain't dropped the steaks? I said, that's why I went in there to get the steaks. What am I going to drop the steaks for? I know ain't nobody here ever done that. Ain't no more Russells in here. I know y'all looking at me saying, he must be a dinosaur or something. They don't even do that no more. Yeah, well, that's just my story. Tired. That's the T in halt. You know, halt used to mean stop, too. The police pull his pistol out and say, halt! Ready to shoot you. But a guy like me, I had to hit the corners. Because I know where I'm going. So, I mean, I literally done that. When the police come to me, I brakes. I'm like a track star. I say, I might get away, but if I stay there, I ain't going to get away. I'm going to jail. So I'm going to run. So I never adhered to halt until I came into this program. Because, see, if you was a criminal like me, man, the police was always chasing me. And I was always running. I run in the middle of the street. I run on top of cars. Don't make no difference. I hit trees. I run in front. I hit fences and all that because I had to get away. Because I had some business to take care of. Some real business. It's called shooting dope. So I want to talk about tithe for a minute. You know, as always a saying, when you're a dope fiend, old tired-ass Gerard, there you go again. When is he going to get his life together? He's so tired. When you look at him, you make you want to cry. Because he's so beat up and he's so tired and he's moving like an old man. Because dope make you tired. Dope will do the great beat down on you. When you want to lift your feet up and you can't get your feet up because you're so tired from being up shooting dope 7, 8, 9 days in a row. You're so tired you just took a whooping and you're exhausted. Because you done ran over somebody's package and they don't court you. And they don't beat all the energy out you where you're so tired you can't move. You just want to sit there and try to get yourself together because you're so tired. You're tired from the drugs. And I know there's a lot of drug addicts in here who've used socially and in moderation. Y'all ain't got as tired as me. But me and my sponsor, we was tired. We were sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's why we ain't never relapsed. See, you can get tired in here and get that energy back, and then you think you got another run in you. I know some people in here don't been there. I'm not talking about you. I'm just trying to make you aware that even if you're tired, you can still push on. They tell you in this program, if your ass fall off, bring it on up in here and we'll patch it. If you're tired, come on up in here and somebody help you. If I look at a friend of mine and he need a ride, he got a ride. He got to have a ride because that what was done for me. You know, I don't beg the different to understand that, you know, although I've been here over 22 years, that I'm any better than anybody. I'm just a humble servant trying to pay my taxes and pay my dues for what this program has done for me. That's what I am. And I tell people, don't get mad at me because of who I represent, Narcotic Anonymous. Get mad at Narcotic Anonymous because they are the ones who put me together, manned me up, gave me a position, gave me an opportunity to have a purpose, and that purpose is to stay clean just for today. Newcomers are important, but every new day I am a newcomer. I cannot live off my 22 years, 9 months. I got to go to meetings just like I did with the Visionists as I started in 1982. I will continue to do that till I breathe no more. I got a saying, until they wind me down in that casket, man. I will always have high praise and gratitude for this program. It's a very simple program and it don't cost you a dime. So those of you who are struggling, try to understand that a part of this program meaning that you got to hurt too. You got to hurt for the good cause because you're going to hurt for a bad cause if you go back to using. And you might lose your life. I have not seen an addict fall out for exhaustion and die from going to meetings. And when I do see one, I'm going to say, I want to go like he go. Because that's important. The fellowship is made up of going to meetings. Everybody start getting into the books. Everybody start doing the step work. They so proud. They do this and they do that. And they do that with perfection. There is no perfect addict in these rooms. You need to understand that. And whatever step work you're doing is only for you. When you come to meetings, you're coming here for everybody in the meeting to see you, to hear you, to understand that that's the way this program of recovery works. Going to meetings. Going to meetings. Being a trusted servant. Sharing your experience, strength, and hope honestly. With honesty, open-minded, and willingness. If you ain't here, you can't do that, y'all. You cannot do it. This program don't work on osmosis. This program is a physical attraction of seeing people. And if you've been around here long enough, I see like my sponsor over here, Greasy Carl. He called himself handsome, but he was greasy when he came in here. You know what I'm saying? And look, see, the bottom line is that, see, I know what I'm talking about because I've seen a lot of people come behind me. See, you listen with your eyes. I remember when they didn't have $2. They had to ask me for $2. Then they get the ride. They get the little apartment. They get the little diamond ring. First thing we wanted was a diamond ring. Pinky diamond ring. Yes, sir. That show, that shows that recovery was working. And if you wasn't going to stay here, the pawn shop was always waiting for you to get that pinky up off you. Get $50 and get a quarter. So all that I'm saying is that, see, people don't know that you're very observant when you're in Narcotics Anonymous. It's just like we dope fiends. We know where the police at, where he's stationed at, you know what I'm saying? Who the beat boys are, you know what I'm saying? Who the gangsters are, who the killers are. We know who that is because we, you know, we're very observant. We're very observant people. So you can't observe people unless you be where people are. Where you at, when you come to meetings, that's where people are. That's where you see people. That's where you learn how to keep from being lonely. Is you interact with people and you let people know who you are. Because I know people that I got in my life, they ain't got to tell me something's going on. I can see it in their face. Because I learned a long time ago, it's funny how you feel shows on your face. If you ain't happy with this program of recovery, man, it shows on your face. If you're angry and you start going to meetings and you start sharing about everybody's doing this to you and everybody's doing that and all this and what other people are doing, man, it ain't about no other person but you. And the reason why it's about other people because you ain't focused on you. If you was focused on you, you wouldn't have time to be worrying about other people. Who people involved with, that's the people's business, man. We all adults and we need to keep it real, man. You know what I'm saying? That man and woman thing ain't gonna never change. So I don't know what y'all talking about women with women and men with men. Man, I don't care if you put them and you separate them in the rooms, they're gonna migrate. They're gonna get together. It's because that's nature, and nobody is bigger than nature. And when nature speaks, it speaks. And most of us answer. But what I'm saying about being lonely, see, loneliness to me means misery. See, when you're lonely and you don't have nothing to share with nobody, man, you're miserable. And that's why you're lonely. You know what I'm saying? But when you interact with people, man, even the joy of other people makes you joy. You know, if you're in a room with a bunch of sad ass, you're going to be saying, damn, what the hell am I doing in here? You got to be in a room where people are doing things, man. You know what I'm saying? People are coming in saying what they're accomplishing and stuff. People getting master's degrees. People getting houses, multiple houses and all those kind of things. That's what recovery is about. That's the underlining writing that you don't see on the wall about your accomplishments. Because what I'm saying is that your self-gratification and what your self-esteem means to you is what's going to keep you here. Because if you don't accomplish nothing, don't be nothing, you ain't nothing, and you're going to go back to using. Because you have not done anything to substitute the void that drugs and alcohol left in you. So you got to fulfill them. My sponsor made me go back to school because I didn't have a GED. He said, well, how the hell you think I'm going to get a job, nigga? Don't nobody want to hire no, you ain't got no, I didn't have no work experience. I didn't start working until I was 33 years old because I was a thief. And that's a haphazard occupation. So I had to go back to school. Matter of fact, me and my sponsor went to school together and got certified as addiction counselors. Then I went on and got certified in a lot of other areas because I wanted some skills. I wanted to be a professional. I wanted to be able to let somebody listen to me because without a using, wasn't nobody listening to me. Wasn't nobody trusting me. So those were some of the things that sponsors do for you, man. You know, this is a program of suggestion. Well, you can't tell me what to do because this is a program of suggestions. Yeah, well, you're going to do something that the dope man tell you to do it, and you ain't going to complain. And he might tell you to do it more than once, and you'll be doing it bouncing off your head. So why can't I be told to do something that's going to benefit me? So don't y'all get it twisted when your sponsor suggests something to you and tell you what you need to do. If you bring me a part of your life where you're in pain and I tell you this is what you need to do to get out of that pain and you don't do it, then don't come back to me and tell me about the pain again. Because evidently you wasn't listening. You felt like you were manly or woman enough to take this upon yourself when you didn't know how to do it. If you knew how to do it, then you wouldn't ask me. So the bottom line, if you ask me, but please don't bring me a lie. Because if you bring me a lot of feedback that you get, it's going to be a lie. Ain't going to help you and ain't going to help me. So when I find out that you lied or you asked for some information and I gave you that was a lie, I might think twice again the next time you ask me something. But because I'm an addict and a recovering addict, I got to forgive. Forgiveness has to be in your heart. See, and if you forgive a lot of people, you won't be lonely no more. Try it. Whoever you're mad at, forgive them. Hug them. Then you'll stop being lonely. Man, this is the most magnificent, greatest, anonymous, workable, and it works perfect. It's a perfect program for imperfect people. Nobody here is better than nobody. No big eyes or little U's in here. No matter whether you're a newcomer or old timer, we're all in the same boat, struggling. We need to be very observant, man. Because the bottom line is that when you look at somebody, you know whether they're using or not. You can't hide using, y'all. Even white people get dusty, ashy gray when they use. And you know what? This is a multifaceted kind of not organization, because we're not really an organization. But a place to be, because like it said, there's no big eyes or little U's. We all brothers and sisters in here. We all family. We all family. Maybe we come from a different culture, which we do. You know, some of us come out of despair. Some of us had silver spoons. But we all wind up here. So we're in the same boat. Because if you be very, very much, don't let me run over now. Be very much observant is that when you look around these rooms, I know a lot of us have done things that could cause us to lose our lives. But the good Lord in his infinite wisdom allow us to be a participant in Ocean City, Narcotic Anonymous. You know, I've lost my brother. I lost my nephew. My people have lost their sons and their daughters as a direct result of not being in the participation of this. And it'll happen again and again and again. It's going to keep on happening. Our kids going to keep on getting out there and losing their lives. And this for the young folks, man. 15, 16, 17 years, y'all dying like ants. Start listening to some old folk. Let some old folk tell you how to get old. And it's one thing that I know that youngsters don't do today. They don't respect their parents, man. You got to respect your elders, man. You got to respect your elders, whether you like what they said or what. You know, man, this is the most wonderful experience that I ever lived. And I know there's plenty more blessings coming my way. And even if I don't get another blessing, I've had mine. I've enjoyed this life to the fullness. I really have. And for that, I give my life to Narcotic Anonymous for giving me life. And my highest praise is that, man, I will never bite the hand that feed me. That's my motto. Never bite the hand that feeds you. If you couldn't hit a lick on a stick before you got here and you got everything going on with you when you're here, it ain't yours. Because if you knew how to do it, you wouldn't have came here and got it. So what you do with that, in turn, you revert it and you recycle it. You let somebody else know how they can get it. That's what we're about. We're a foundation of recycling. My 22 years won't keep me clean. for tomorrow. It won't. But I've been consistent. I've never relapsed. The reason that I never relapsed because I know I could. But do I want to take that for granted? Nah. I don't want God to take my gift and give it to somebody who deserves it. So I've never violated that. And I hope I never will. But I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. But one thing you can remember about Shorty, Shorty is going to be rumbling whatever comes down the pipe. I've always been a good fighter. I just fought for the wrong cause. But now I'm fighting for the righteous cause. This righteous cause of my life, or what I need to do for me. I talked about halting. I'm about ready to sit down. But I want to thank each and every one of you. And share a little something that's very important. It's very simple. Go to meetings. With that, I'll keep coming back.
Powerful message. For our next speaker, we have William G. from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Right. Get a hug, huh? Thank you.
Lean going on.
Damn. Seeing them running out the door that fast. I'm an addict, I'm Will. Proud to be a member of a fellowship that has the power to save and change lives. You know, and before I take you on my journey through this HALT thing, which I like to consider because I'm an old military guy, you know, and HALT for me is like HALT who goes there. So now, what we're going to do before I do any of that, and I'm a literature kind of guy, and I'm going to be real, real brief, but before I start, I want to thank Gerald for sharing and his sponsor. Because it's for guys like these guys here that I'm able to stand on their shoulders. Now listen to me, newcomers. Stand on their shoulders through their teachings to be able to come up here and carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous. Now let me do this right quick. And I'm going to be all over the place, so, you know, I'm still confused, you know. And I just need to say this. I'm coming up on 15 years, and I say that not to throw flowers at me or anything like that. I say that just to say this. If you're new, you can do it too. I also say that to remind me that I stay vigilant, and I keep coming. That's why I got the time, and I'm going to talk about time in a minute. But let me just read this to you. It says, God grant us the knowledge that we may write according to your divine precepts. Instill in us a sense of your purpose. Make us servants of your will and grant us a bond of selflessness. That this may truly be your work, not ours, in order that no addict, I said no addict, anywhere, need to die from the horrors of addiction. See, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this little thing right quick, and then I'm going on a rampage, and then you're going to have to try to tie it in to where I'm coming from, whether it's H or A or L or whatever. But I'm going to talk about, in the H, I'm going to talk about some honesty and some hope, all right? The A, I'm going to talk about affirmation, some assets, and love. We're going to talk about learning and letting go and loneliness. And in time, we're going to talk about traditions, 12 steps. And I'm going to tie that into my story. But what I'm going to do is I just want to take another moment of silence, man, so I can thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here. And you can thank the God of your understanding for allowing you to be here. All right. I want to just start off with this, man, with the H and the HALT. Who goes there? When I first got here, man, and I can remember when I slid in here like a greasy pork chop. You know what I'm talking about? Like a greasy pork chop. And they had to throw sawdust down to slow me up. See, I remember that. See, I don't get it twisted. And they told me, look, man, all you have to do is just have, back then they were saying an honest desire. They don't say that no more. To stop using. Well, I said, well, if I didn't have an honest desire, I wouldn't be here. Because no matter what they said, and I'm old school, You work the steps, MF, or you die. That's what they used to say. So they said the only thing you really got to do perfectly and honestly is just don't pick up. So now that kept that real simple for me. Now through that experience, coming in here, getting in the process, and I agree with what Gerald said, if I'm not in the steps and I'm not stepping in the steps and my steps ain't in the steps, then I ain't in the process. See, I don't believe, because my disease will say, well, just go to meetings and just go to meetings. And just keep going to meetings. It says in our literature, those who make meetings regularly stay clean. They don't recover. It says if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're willing to take certain steps. These are the principles that make recovery possible. Rewind. These are the principles that make recovery possible. No military secret. And I tell you, man, and I stand next to this man right now, and I am privileged. And I'm talking about privilege. I got goosebumps to be able to be here and sit down and be next to this gentleman because he kept the doors open for me in order for me to get here. So put the big air on, newcomer, with that one. Don't get here and think you know more than somebody that's already been here. Yeah, you can clap. Go ahead now. Go ahead, John. It's one of them old timers over there. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, babe. I know what you're talking about. See, I still carry my pistol, too, sometime for y'all newcomers. You know what I mean? But I do. I have the utmost respect for the old timers, man. And I always talk about that. And I always talk about my sponsor. And don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to put them on no pedestal. Because it ain't room for all of us any damn way. But I talk about my sponsor all the time when I share. And today, he was doing the meeting the same time as me. You know, and my sponsees is here. And I got sort of resentment because they went to his meeting and didn't come to mine. But they're here now. No, but seriously, whenever I share or whenever he shares, I'm always there and I always pay homage to this guy because he showed me the way. He continues to show me the way. I also spell suggestions. When they say suggestions, I spell suggestions M-U-S-T. The only thing for me that's a suggestion is that if I'm 30,000 feet in the air, I jump out the plane, it's suggested I pull the ripcord. I don't have to if I don't want to. Now I know. See, the recovery is power. I told y'all I was an old paramilitary guy. I know for a fact whenever my sponsor suggests to me to do something, and he damn sure don't suggest because they told me a suggestion is a subtle command. And Webster's, I believe, it's a subtle command. So whenever he says something to me, I simply say, okay. Because if it worked for him, it'll work for me. See, I don't believe that then. Well, what I do might work for you, and it won't work. Well, I'm here to tell you, Narcotics Anonymous will work for anybody. You know, that misinformation. Well, I'm going to fake it till I make it. I wasn't using no fake dope. How am I going to come up in here faking up in here? Misinformation. I better come in here, and they say, well, when can I get better? The sooner I start this process, the sooner I can get better. And it is only through the process of the steps, man, the change for me took place somewhere between 1 and 12, I found God. Somewhere between 1 and 2, I found the relationship that took me, hold up, that took me 8 minutes to get in and 8 years to get out. So it's been a hell of a journey, and I keep coming back. I'm going to keep on coming back because I want to see what's going to happen next to me. You know what I mean? But I just want to go to the affirmation part here, you know. And I tell you this, man, and I say this from my heart. I don't come into a meeting today talking that stuff and feeding myself any negative affirmations or any negative innuendos. Because I know today that is my thinking that takes me back to the burning building. See, because my thinking dictates the way I feel, and the way I feel dictates the way I act or my behavior. And if I never change my thinking, then I'll continue to behave and act accordingly. You know what I'm saying? Now check it. Do I think what I feel, or do I feel what I think? I'm going to let y'all ponder it, Jack. Y'all write me in Fort Lauderdale when y'all get the thing. Do I think, because you can, there's a lot of hits in there. A lot of hits. But see, I know for me that this is broke. Even after coming, I think I'll have 15 years in 2 weeks. Still broke. Still got, I don't make no major decisions without my sponsor. Come on now. I'm talking about major decisions. And I snuck around for the first 5 years because I was sneaking around. I came in the meetings, man. I was in the meeting one time, and I sat down in the front row, looked down the front row. Now, this is when I was running around here. I was a spiritual guru and shit, you know what I mean? Laying hands on newcomers, levitating in the meetings. You know what I'm talking about? So I came in, right? And I sat down, and I looked down the row, and had slept with every woman on in the first row. Oh, I'm just getting honest. That's all. And then raise my hand, levitating, and share some good spiritual shit and lead a meeting. The disease, and then when I get out the meeting, the disease turns around and says, "That's right, baby, we got him." You know what I mean? Keep on sharing. Raise your hand in the next meeting and share that same shit. You know? And I can remember, man, and I say that because of the thinking. The same stuff I brought in here, and I'm here to tell you the same stuff that I brought in. I'm going to keep it on me. And try to work this program, it'll never work. It will never work. I tried it up, down, under, over. You know what I mean? Never work. So today, now my sponsor told me, I want you to put on the mirror a little note to yourself saying, "I love you." And I want you to do that, and I want you to look in the mirror every morning when you get up. And I did that. And at first it was like, you know, "Oh, shit, who's that in the mirror?" You know what I mean? I love you, and you know, that type of thing. Before it was over, I was standing in the mirror. You know what I mean? I was in the mirror. "I love you, man. You're all right. You're a good guy. As the Italians would say, you're a good fella." You know what I mean? And by doing that, see, because these meetings, y'all, listen to this one. These meetings are preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for the storms that are going to come. Now, my boat ain't going to stay in there. The cargo, especially the cargo I'm bringing in on that boat, if I don't prepare myself to try to get some of that cargo off that boat, do some inventory, fix that boat up. You know what I mean? So when I come to meetings today and I sit and I come in and I sit down and I listen. And I listen to the newcomers, love the newcomers, because they sharing all that denial. Sound just like me, though. Sharing all that denial and stuff, just like I was when I came. And even today, it ain't far from me to enjoy or indulge in a good lie. For no reason at all. For no apparent reason at all. And I had to catch myself and say, "Halt! Who goes there?" You know what I mean? Is it the disease or is it God? Who is it? See, I have to do that. And I have to call my sponsor, man. I love this guy. I love this guy to death. I call him the wind beneath my wings. And that's right. Because I'm an old original type gangster out of New York, Harlem, 117th Street and Lenox Avenue. Know what I'm saying? Shooting dope in my neck. See, you wasn't no dope fiend if you didn't get off in your neck. You know what I mean? My groin, you know what I mean? Didn't come out, my boy, like my boy Carl says, be nodding so tough, I'm scratching the cat next to me. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? So I had to get rid of that. I had to get rid of that mindset when I came in here because I couldn't identify. And they told me if you can't identify, you won't get this program. The only people I could identify with was the people shooting dope. You know, and I said, "Well, fuck it, being that I'm unique, I got to find me a niche." Well, my name is Will. I'm a polyaddict. I don't care who knows it, just as long as I don't forget it. And I'd sit down and the old timers would say, "A poly what?" "A poly what?" And they let me go on, and I had about 5 years clean, right? And my sponsor finally came up to me. He said, "Will, let me ask you something, man." I said, "What, John?" He said, "What is a polyaddict?" I said, "John, I have no fucking clue. It sounds good. It sounds good." He said, "Do me a favor, man. Just go to a meeting and be an addict." That's all. Just be at it. You might stay here. You know what I mean? And again, on the affirmations end, let me tell y'all something, man. Because I told myself I wasn't shit, and I told my, and that continued to manifest my reality. Let me tell y'all. Today, I look in the mirror, I see my picture on the Wheaties box of champions. Did you hear what I said? I said I see my picture on the Wheaties box of champions. That's right. And every day, this is why I come here. I come here to heal within my spirit. I know today the way I feel is a direct result of my spiritual conditioning. Now, how am I feeding myself spiritually? Not necessarily by going to meeting, because a lot of times be more disease in the meeting than outside the meeting. My sponsors taught me is that there's some things that we do. You know, and I ain't got to tell y'all. Y'all already know there's 24 principles in this program. You see, if you're looking for spirituality, if you're looking for God, if you're looking for a woman, whatever you're looking for, you can find them in the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. That's what he told me, see, because I was diverting. I thought God, and I had made this woman God, and I'm telling y'all now, 7 years clean, had the pistol in my mouth. I'm talking about in my mouth, brand new. Wanting to kill myself with 7 years clean. Now, how did I get there? See, I want to know, how did you get there? When you go out and you use and you come back, my thing is, and I approach everybody, how did you get there? What was the thinking that took you back in the burning building, back to the shackles? See, that's my thing. And I finally realized is that that's how I got there, my thinking. See, that's how I got there. So I turn all that stuff over to y'all when I come in here because I listen to the message, you know, not the messenger. You see, I listen to the message. And if I listen real, real good and real, real clear, I'm going to hear a message. I ain't never been to a bad Narcotics Anonymous meeting. You know, my perspective, I'm talking about a new perspective on life. See, because somebody going to say something. My brother was in jail, man, for 27 years, right? I gave him his wing, so I carried a lot of shame and guilt. And I used to give him water shots and be nodding, and he'd be nodding right along with me. So, yeah, you know, so I carried a lot of shame and guilt, right? So 5 years ago when my mother passed, my brother came out of penitentiary, right? Straight back to the shackles after 27 years. You know, and he was checking me and said, well, damn, man, you changed, man. Are you saved? And what you doing? What church you going to? And I said, bro, it's a fellowship known as Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't try to push it on him. I just kind of like, you know what I mean, went about my business. And he watched my actions. I didn't have to tell him nothing. So it took 5 years, and I've been praying for this guy for years, right? So this January, right, my other brother was murdered. They found him murdered in the stairwell of the projects on 127th Street. So now I'm on the phone talking to my brother that just got out of jail, right? I'm saying, yo, man, what happened? Did you find out? Do I need to strap up and all that old crazy shit again? You know, that's how disease keep that thinking always is there, you know? And he said, well, no, we didn't find out nothing yet. And when we do, we'll let you know. And, you know, we went on and we were talking and he cut me off. Cut me off in the middle of the sentence now. Listen to this. And I said, he said, well, I got to go. I said, you got to go? What are you talking about, you got to go? I ain't talked to you, man, like in 5 years. A brother just died, and you got to go? He said, yeah. I said, well, where you going? He said, I'm going to chair my home group. I just got goosebumps. Go ahead, y'all. That's Narcotics Anonymous. That ain't me. You know what I'm saying? I said, you going to chair what? Because you know what I mean? He said, I said, did I hear you right? He said, yeah, I'm chairing my home group, man. I got 90 days clean. God damn. Huh? Now, is there any hope in that? Huh? Where's the affirmations in that? Where's the assets in that? Me practicing this program, walking around, standing tall, a champion in this program, a soldier in this program. If you're a visitor here, you know what a visitor does. It comes, leaves, and goes the fuck back where they came from. I'm talking about being a champion, being knocked down in this program, getting back up, continuing this journey, no matter what. I'm talking about coming into meetings and my woman left me and was sitting in the same meeting across with somebody else right in front of my face and I still kept coming. And the disease said, you need to go over there and kill both of them in the meeting. And I say, you know you're right, but I'm going to talk to my sponsor first. That's all. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk to him first. So I'm talking about, like Gerald said, I'm picking it. Get off the people, man, and get on the program. And guess what? God saw fit to do some things. You know, I got my brother, and he's a newcomer. That's why it's important to listen to these newcomers, right? So I called my brother again. We got a rapport now, you know. And I said, man, you know, I can't come to New York, man. I'm in the hole. I owe this one. I owe that one. I don't know what to do. And he said, well, listen, bro, the first thing you need to do is stop digging. Stop digging. First thing you need to do is stop digging. I said, oh, shit, 90 days clean. This cat 90 days clean. It made sense to me. I said, man, you right. You right, man. You know? And I want to share a little bit now about the, where we at. L, love, right? I want to share about the love that I receive in this program. I came here to D.C., man. Ain't no nobody in D.C. Came with my friend. She knows everybody. She from the Z's, from D.C. And I went into this meeting, and they greeted me in this meeting, and everybody loved me in this meeting, had no clue of who I was, what I was. They didn't even know if I was an addict. They told me, welcome, and keep coming, no matter what. And that's the stuff I think I've been looking for. I don't think, I know I've been looking for all my life. Always was looking for love and settling for sex. Getting sex confused with love, knowing that sex is nothing but pleasure, and the end result always being pain. And that was my journey. One woman here, one woman over there, one woman back here. And I'm here to tell you, if you're running around here and you're a man and you got 2, 3, 4, 5 women, show me a man with 2, 3, 4, 5 women and I'll show you a man with a nil void of any type of spiritual contentment. You know what I'm saying? Or spiritual agenda. And who's in... You know what I mean? My boy said it. I guess I can say it. Can I say it? I ain't supposed to be cussing. He just fucked up. You know what I'm saying? But I say that, man, and I say that with passion because that was me. Oh, man, I used to come in the meeting dipping. You know what I mean? All the women smiling at me. Yeah, I know they want to have my baby and marry me and shit. This is how self-centered I was when I got here. Yeah, you got to wait in line. I'll be there in a minute. You know what I mean? That type of attitude when I came. Because I come from a lot of betrayal and all of that stuff, and I ain't going to get into all of that. But I'm going to talk about the loneliness that I've started to talk about through being betrayed in here, which she didn't betray me. I betrayed myself because I didn't have no self-acceptance or no acceptance on any kind of level. I didn't even have a first step because I thought I could control the situation and the outcome. Plus, I apologized to her after a couple of months down the road because she got out of this shit with her life just in time. And God saw fit to bring a 360. This is what I'm saying. If you just stay here, just stay a little while, it'll come back. My best friend in the world to date, once I got out of the way and gave it to God and let God have, you know what I mean? Anytime I put God first, anything is possible. See, and today I say, you know what? She's independent of who she is. I'm independent of who I am. But we're both dependent on this program and God. Don't get it twisted. You don't get it twisted. And she practices a program of Narcotics Anonymous. And I practice a program of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't go anywhere else. You know, I found everything I wanted in these rooms. They said if you come in here and you look for a minefield, you'll find a minefield too if you look hard enough. And I found them. Now, where we at? T, right? This is the best one. Time. You know. First of all, I want to say a certain amount of clean time. Clean time and adventures of time doesn't equate recovery, nor does social acceptability. That's on page 22 in basic text. But I'm going to tell you this, try to get some time. Try to get some. And I'm going to tell you this also. Listen to this. And Gerald touched on this. This program is about healing. So you can't put time on healing, but it takes time to heal. Rewind. You can't put time on healing, but it takes time to heal. So I am forever indebted again to the predecessors of this program that still keep coming. Because they are the evidence that if you keep coming, you can heal. They are the evidence in the second step when we talk about hope, the healing of other people everywhere. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, today I don't get it twisted. I don't get it confused. I know in my spirit that I'm an emissary for God. And I ain't talking about religiously now. Just don't get it twisted. I'm talking about carrying this message. See, I signed a contract with God, my sponsor, and myself. If y'all just get me out this hole this one time. Just this last time. I promise. And they said, okay, we're going to get you out this hole, but there's some things required. You got to do some work and get yourself. See, if you in the hole, I ain't jumping down there with you. I heard that story about jump down. I ain't jumping down in there with you. What I'll do is stand on the side and coach you out because I already been there and I know the way out. That's only because y'all showed me the way out. See, I ain't going down there. I need our program is about the language of empathy. And I had to find the difference out between empathy and sympathy. Sympathy is when I go through it for you. Empathy is when I go through it with you. You know, there's no big shots, no little shots. We all one shot. You know, and I listen and I carry that stuff today that I heard when I first got here. I keep vigilant in what I do. Well, I got to go back to the base. Well, God damn it, if you never get away from the basics, you never have to go back. I don't never get away. I stay in basic training. I'm here to tell you that this basic training, it works how and why is advanced infantry training. I told y'all I was a military guy. You know what I'm talking about? AIT. All right now. 2467661. Reporting is ordered, sir. You know what I mean? And that's how I deal, and I deal with humor. So if you're new in here, don't think I'm funny and I feel funny. This is my delivery. I don't take this disease for granted. Ain't nothing funny about the disease of addiction. This just happens to be my flavor. This is my experience. This is my strength. This is my hope. You know? And if I'm bringing a message and a true message and a pure message of Narcotics Anonymous, my story is your story. Your story is my story. So I don't care what you're sharing about. If you're coming from the podium or in the meetings, I need to sit down with a third tradition in my life, because the third tradition takes away all judgment. But still, I be judging now. You know I do. Well, goddamn, when are they gonna work this damn program? All they gotta do is work the step. Don't they know that? And then I have to revisit when I first got here with 1 and 2 days clean. You know, walking around. Check this out. Y'all see me now, right? I came in here, like I said, with my platforms. That's right. I came with my platforms and shit. And I had my Jerry curl. Bam. You know what I mean? And then I wondered why didn't nobody want to hug me. I was dripping all over everybody. You know? And they used to say, man, just keep coming. Just keep coming. My sponsor didn't invite me to his house, man, for the first 5 years. And I didn't know that. I said, well, John, why you ain't know? He said, man, I wasn't going to have you dripping on my shit. You know what I mean? And that's a true story. 3 minutes. But I am truly blessed today because I can look back on all of that, and that was part of my preparation for where I'm at today. I'm going to tell this story because I got to go. Listen to this, y'all. Put the big ear on. Last week I went. Now this is talking about some of the amends that we talk about, right? What I'm talking about in the A. I went. My daughter called me up. I ain't seen my daughter in about 15 years. Yo, daddy, my son's in jail. I need you to show up. I can't show up. His parents showed up. He's been locked up 6 months. I said, all right. So I go to court for him. I get to court, find out that they sentencing him. The boy don't even know what I look like. I don't know what he look like. I'm looking for him. He looking for me. You know, then I find him and I said, damn, you know, you don't even look like my, but anyway, you know. So They called me up, Mr. Grayson, come up. And I walk up, and I got my shit on. See this? I keep my shit real simple. Simplicity is the key, right? I got this on, you know. So I'm standing there, and the judge looks over, and she says, who is this guy? And the lawyer said, well, that's Mr. Grayson. That's Stanley's grandfather. And he came all the way from Fort Lauderdale. He's in Tampa to be here for his grandson. And I'm just standing there. I know I don't want to open my mouth because, y'all already see what I could do. But I just stand there, and she said, would you like to say something? I said, no, ma'am. And she looks over. She said, what is that thing around your neck? What is that? And I said, well, she said, never mind. I know. And she looked at my grandson. I'm getting goosebumps here. And she said, you know what, son? Today, I'm going to give you a break. Listen to this. She said, there's going to be no court costs. Now, listen. The kid was in jail for the intent, armed robbery, murder, weapons, what do they call that? Weapons charge, carrying weapons, whatever that is. Transportation of weapons. He was facing 25 to life. Come on now. 25 to life. She looked over at him and said, I'm going to give you a break today. If it wasn't for your grandfather being here, I'd put you so far back in there you wouldn't see daylight. But I'm going to tell you something. Today is going to set a precedent for what I do in the future through your actions on what I'm doing for you. Meaning that if the rest of the people that come before me after this, predicated on your behavior, I'm going to make you responsible. That means that you're going to have to do for you, and you're going to have to remember to do for them. So you can't, you know what I mean? And I'm standing there. Now, don't forget, this is John Wayne, you know, from Harlem. Die with his boots on, don't never cry, you know, that type of shit. Tears is coming down my eyes. I don't want nobody to see, you know, me wiping them, so I don't wipe them. I'm just standing there, but the judge sees them. You know, the judge sees them. And the judge says one more time, she said, I thank you for coming today. I appreciate you being here, you know, and you keep doing what you do. And I'm here to tell y'all, I thank y'all for being here, man, and the committee for having me, and the programming committee, and the predecessors for allowing me to be in this process, man. And just keep coming no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. I'm an addict, I'm Will. Thanks for letting me share.